Hare Krishna. So, today is no Bhagavatam verse because we are talking about the transcendental Dipa Utsav. So, of course, there is some confusion going on. When is actual Deepavali? Some celebrated yesterday, some day before yesterday, some celebrating today. But really speaking, Deepavali is every day. So every morning you wake up, is a new day. New day means you are being specially blessed by the Lord. It gives you another opportunity to render service to the Lord. So every day is Deepavali. Om Ajnana Trimandasya Jnananjana Salakaya Chakshus Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha Vanchakalpatrubhyasya Kripa Sindhubhyecha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnabhyo Namo Namaha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare. So, does anybody know what is the importance of today, besides Deepavali? Yes. And? Yes. So, of course, this day is very important because special lila happened. It was actually today, means Deepavali day. You know, although we celebrate the whole month of Kartik offering Damodar Puja, also is Kartik month is known as Damodar Mass. The whole idea of this whole month is that we meditate on the beautiful form of the Lord as is, young appearance in Vrindavan, which is called Brajlila. So every morning after singing the Damodar Astikam, we read the English translation of the prayers. And what does one of the verse say in that? That the beautiful pastimes of Bala Gopala, he increases my love for him. So basically, this whole month, our meditation should be on that beautiful form of the Lord as Bala Gopala, who is having very wonderful pastimes in Vrindavan. And he's bringing pleasure to the groves of, for the devotees of Braj. Just like in the morning, before the Bhagavatam class, we sing Jai Radha Madhava, saying, Yashoda Nandana, Brajajana Ranjana. Yashoda Nandana means one who is darling of Mother Yashoda. And Brajanandana means that darling of Mother Yashoda brings pleasure to all the Brajanandans, all the Brajvasis. So our mood should be to meditate on that, because ultimately when we are awakened to spirituality, we come to Krishna consciousness. And what is the purpose of coming to Krishna consciousness? Most will say, well, I want to be freed from this entanglement of repeated births and death. I want to be freed from all the suffering. But Krishna consciousness is not meant for that. Krishna consciousness is meant to develop that divine love for the Supreme Lord. And when you develop that love for the Supreme Lord through the process of bhakti, then automatically all these other elements which you desire will come as part and parcel, as byproduct. Srila Prabhupada explains that when you are fully surrendered in the mood of devotion and worship the Supreme Lord in His beautiful form as Radha and Krishna, then what happens? You become attached to the Lord. And when you become attached to the Lord, your whole life revolves around the Supreme Lord. You do every activity from the morning you wake up till night you go to sleep. And when you go to sleep also, you dream about Krishna. So basically, 24/7, you're dreaming and remembering Krishna. And when this status is achieved, then what happens? Liberation is folding the hands and waiting for you. You don't have to wait for, you know, you don't have to aspire for liberation. Liberation is already there. So this is the mood of worshipping the Supreme Lord, especially this month of Kartik, when we kind of make extra effort to remember the Supreme Lord and worship Him and offer Him arti, you know, or dipa. Generally, this is exclusively the domain of the Brahmins who are initiated into the Brahminical status, and they then get trained to worship the deities on the altar. But general public, they cannot go. Even the devotees who are Brahmin initiates, they cannot just willy-nilly go on the altar and start offering the worship to the Lord. But this 1 month, you get a chance to offer arti to the Lord. And of course, there are so many statements from the Shastra saying that if you offer a ghee lamp, mind you, not candle, it's ghee lamp, but we are now progressing in the age of Kali, so we have abandoned the pure ghee and gone to only the wax, which is, okay, second best, I suppose. But the whole idea is that when you offer, and they say that when you offer a lamp to the Lord on this month, thousands of lifetimes of sinful activities are wiped out, and all your desires are fulfilled. But it's very dangerous. When you offer the candle to the Lord, hoping that you will becoming completely blissful and blessed by the Lord, but then there are so many desires lurking in the heart. And the Lord doesn't discriminate whether your desires are beneficial to you or harmful to you. Although in our illusion, we think all our desires are very beneficial to us, knowingly or unknowingly. Now those who have come to Krishna consciousness, they will understand that all the desires you may have to fulfill in this material world will bring you happiness. But it doesn't. Because there are people who are in this world are getting benedicted by all the desires being fulfilled. Name, fame, wealth, prestige. But are they happy? They're not happy. So what does a devotee ask for? Devotee is only asking to Krishna, the dear Lord, please let me remember you every moment. Not forget you. Jai Shri Radha Gopalanda ki jai, Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ji ki jai, Shri Gonitai ki jai. So our prayer and meditation should be, the dear Lord, please kindly give me the blessings that I may not forget you any moment. And our very process of bhakti, which is given to us by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, is that we are engaged from morning till night in remembering the Supreme Lord. Of course, we don't have full faith in the Supreme Lord. And therefore, we try to make alternative arrangements to satisfy our regular daily needs. In one purport to the in the Bhagavad Gita, Srila Prabhupada says, one who is fully surrendered to the Supreme Lord, all his social needs are taken care of by the Supreme arrangement. Now one would think, okay, that is a good statement. Now I need certain basic requirements for my existence. Is the Lord going to provide for me? So we don't have faith in the Lord that the Lord will provide. So we make alternate arrangements. That we go and get a job. And then, you know, from morning till evening, you're working hard, laboring away. At the end of the week, you get some remuneration of some money, depending on which country you are, pounds, euros, dollars, rupees, yens, whatever is currencies. Basically, that's what you're working for. And you think, wow, that I've got all this money, I can now get my basic necessities. But Prabhupada explains that one who is fully surrendered to the Supreme Lord, Krishna will take care of him. He must have faith. So, of course, we can't just sit you know, in one place and just put your hand in the japa mala and from morning till night, go, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And then saying, well, Krishna says, if I'm chanting all day long, He will provide for my necessities. But of course, Krishna says, yes, I will provide for your necessities. But at the same time, I have given you intelligence. Use your intelligence. So, of course, Prabhupada says, even that example is giving, that if the Supreme Lord can provide the necessities of a tiny ant and a large elephant, so if you put yourself in between the two, do you think Krishna is not going to provide for us? He does provide. So the whole process and understanding of Krishna consciousness is how to create that consciousness of remembrance of the Lord in every activity. Every activity you perform should be to remember the Supreme Lord. Now, when we are practicing Krishna consciousness in the process of bhakti, as given to us by Srila Prabhupada in this International Society of Krishna Consciousness, you know, first and foremost thing is that we make a pledge to chant 16 rounds of the Hare Krishna mantra. So that's okay, 2 hours of your day is gone for chanting Hare Krishna. And after 2 hours of chanting, what do you do the rest of the day? You are engaged in so many different activities, but you don't remember the Supreme Lord. Now if you don't remember the Supreme Lord, then how are you going to connect with the Supreme Lord? Because every moment you are thinking of the Supreme Lord and remembering His transcendental pastimes, it is supposed to enliven your heart, the soul, and you become connected to the Supreme Lord. And more you are connected with the Supreme Lord, then that pleasure comes. But if it just becomes a kind of a ritual, every day, in and out, every morning you do the same thing, and after 10, 15, 20 years of practicing, you say, well, I'm hearing from different devotees, I'm reading in the scriptures, I'm executing the process of bhakti, but this pleasure is not coming. Well, that's because when we are chanting the holy name of the Lord, of course, our intention is sincere. This is the process to free of all the contaminations in the heart, which is accumulated for many thousands of lifetimes. But during that time, we are also harboring many desires in the heart. So in one purport to the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Prabhupada is saying that the Naam Prabhu is the most merciful. You know, there are certain rules, regulations, certain requirements for worshipping the Supreme Lord in His deity form. If you're going to perform some certain yagyas, then you have to have certain materials requirement and knowledge about the yagya and so forth. So all these different processes require so many things. But for chanting the holy name of the Lord, you don't need anything. Even to the extent, you don't even need the japamala. Japamala is there to encourage us and focus. But by Lord's arrangement, the process is Sravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam. Chanting and hearing and then remembering the Lord. So for chanting, what do you need? Do you need something external? By the grace of the Lord, He has given you power of speech. Now what do we use the power of speech for? Everything but chanting the holy name of the Lord. Hearing. We hear about everything under the sun except hearing the holy name. So if you don't hear the holy name, if you don't chant the holy name, then what remembrance is going to happen? What are you going to remember? Everything you see, everything you hear, everything you speak, that is what is going to be remembered in your mind. That's what is going to entangle you. So this chanting is so important that we do it with the proper consciousness and proper understanding. Because as soon as you chant the holy name is so much pleased by your chanting of the holy name that it will fulfill all your desires. Now you have some very, very deep lurking desires in the heart. Krishna says, that's what you want. I'll give it to you. So Krishna is fulfilling all your desires. Now when He fulfills all your desires, means what? All material facilities, all material things. And when you have all these things, you become more and more entangled. So you want to be free from these things. So the process is proper consciousness and the proper mood of chanting. So the proper mood of chanting is that it is a prayer to the Lord. As Prabhupada explains, what is the Hare Krishna mantra mean basically? And dear Lord, engage me in your service. That is the mantra. We chant Hare Krishna, Hare Ram, saying, Dear Lord, please kindly be merciful unto me and engage me in your service. So when you engage in Krishna's service, then you are fully absorbed in the service. Just like, you may engage in some ordinary activity. Let's say, for example, cooking. You're in the kitchen and you're cooking. Now, if your mind is not focused on the cooking, all the ingredients and spices and everything is there, but you're not concentrating, focusing, what will happen? Whatever you're cooking is not going to come out good, because you may forget to put some spicing, you may forget to put the salt, or you may put the wrong ingredients or wrong vegetables. And you go in, with a plan that you're going to go cook a particular vegetable, you end up cooking something else because you're not focused. But you're concentrating. So when you're concentrating, then what happens? Your mind is focused in exactly the activity you're performing. So similarly, when you're praying to Krishna, that, Dear Lord, please kindly engage me in your service. And then any service which we are rendering to Krishna is to be fully focused in that. Your mind is wandering all over the universe, then you're not doing your due diligence. Means you're not focusing on Krishna. And if you're not focusing on Krishna, then Krishna is sitting there. It's okay. If you don't focus me, I don't care. It is for your benefit. Because if you focus on me, you'll benefit. And if you don't focus on me, Krishna is not going to lose anything. So Krishna is very clearly explaining that the object of connecting with the Supreme Lord is for our benefit. Not for Krishna's benefit. So, when we offer a nice puja to the Lord, we make nice decorations for the Lord, we make nice bhoga offering for the Lord. But it's for our benefit. It's not for the Lord's benefit. Lord is not thinking, hey, can you decorate me with nice flowers and jewelry and everything? He's complete in himself. He doesn't need our little mundane flowers or some jewelry or some clothing to decorate him. But he's allowing us to perform this service. He's allowing us to cook for him. He's allowing us to do so many service for him. So the whole idea is that we connect with the Supreme Lord in that meditation. So this whole month of Kartik, we are meditating on the form of Lord Damodar. And of course, we have a beautiful Yashoda and Damodar in front of us, just to make sure that you remember that this is the object of our focus. Just like sometimes I hear in the morning during Damodarastikam, when they finish, they say, Radha Damodar, Radha Damodar, Radha Damodar. Well, where is Radha Damodar? It's Yashoda Damodar. Because you're supposed to remember Yashoda and Damodar. If you remember Radha Damodar, go to Vrindavan. Because here is Radha Gokulananda. Of course, it's not different from Radha Damodar. But if your mood is to remember the Radha Damodar, then it's Radha Damodar. And if you're here, and Radha Gokulananda is there, you're saying, I'm here. And you're going, Radha Damodar, Radha Damodar, Radha. And Gokulananda is saying, I'm here. Where is your focus? So sometimes we lose this thing, and we think we are doing the right thing, but we're doing the wrong thing. Actually, the whole month, as I said, the object of our worship is to remember Mother Yashoda. And beautiful Bala Gopala. And as we hear the translation of the Damodarastikam, very clearly saying that the Bala Gopal is bringing great pleasure to Mother Yashoda. And similarly, when we worship Bala Gopal in the same mood, we also get the same. Now, of course, the whole object of today, actually, Deepavali day, Mother Yashoda was tying Krishna to the grinding mortar. Now, how does this come about is that when Krishna, as a young boy, in order to increase the pleasure of the Brajabasis, the gopis, he would go to their homes and then he would steal their butter and yogurt. Now, we know from the scriptural descriptions of Nanda Maharaj that Nanda Maharaj had 900,000 cows. Now, we in our Gokul farm have over 60 cows and bulls. And not all the cows are giving milk. But can you imagine 900,000 cows? Now, you know, see, it's not mentioning bulls. It's saying 900,000 cows. When you have 900,000 cows, how much milk is being produced by all these wonderful cows? And these cows are also not ordinary. They are Surabi cows. So they are giving profuse milk. And then so much profuse milk is there. What happens with the milk? They make into yogurt and butter. And there is unlimited supply of milk and yogurt and butter. In fact, if you go for Brajmandal Parikrama, when you're going towards Gokul, there is a small pond. And the devotee who is guiding the pilgrims would describe that. Now we are here, and this kunda is called the Chasa Kund. Chasa, of course, is the word in Gujarati or Hindi language, but in English is buttermilk. So there was a whole pond full of buttermilk. Of course, now it's not there because Nanda Maharaj's cows have disappeared somehow, you know, Kali Yuga has come in. But the point is that during the time of Krishna's pastimes, there was unlimited butter, buttermilk, yogurt. So this, does he need to go and steal from someone? No. But why he does this? Because when he goes to the house of different gopis and steals, the gopis get so much pleasure that today Krishna will come to my house and he will steal my butter. So he leaves the door open, the windows open, and keeps the clay pots hanging in such a way that you can see very clearly. So enticing come. Just like, you know, if you have a nice home and you have a lot of valuables in your house, you have, you know, a security system, you have lock your windows, your doors, and you have a guard dog to protect your valuables. So you will not attract the thieves. But when you keep everything open, and the thief says, well, door is open, window is open, it's for the taking. Just go and take what you want. So the gopis would do that. And the reason for that was that every time Krishna would come with his coward boys to steal the butter and yogurt, they would get a glimpse of Krishna. And when they get a glimpse of Krishna, they get so much pleasure. But they are not satisfied with that. So after Krishna steals the butter and yogurt and enjoys himself, the gopis are taking great pleasure in this. After that, Krishna runs back and goes home. And the gopis run after Krishna and go to Mother Yashoda and says, Mother Yashoda, we have complaint about your child. He is such a naughty child. He comes and steals our butter and yogurt. Now, of course, the gopis were not going because they were, you know, disturbed by Krishna stealing their butter and yogurt. They were going because here is opportunity again to take a glimpse of Krishna. Because every time you see Krishna, it brings great pleasure in your heart. So they go and complain to Mother Yashoda. And Mother Yashoda says, okay, Krishna, come here. And then says, these ladies have come to complain about you. Did you go and steal butter and yogurt? Says, Mother, we have enough yogurt and butter in our house. Why should I go and steal? But that is not the point. The point is Krishna is giving pleasure to the gopis. And then Mother Yashoda, when she hears that her darling son is not stealing butter, is not stealing yogurt, so she feels great pleasure. So she gets great pleasure. But this one time, the gopis were complaining like anything. So Mother Yashoda got a little frustrated. And then when she got frustrated, she said, I will have to teach my son some lesson. Now at this point, Mother Yashoda is covered by yoga maya. She doesn't realize that this little boy is a supreme personality of Godhead. So by the yoga maya's potency, she is covered. But the only thing Mother Yashoda feels is great intense attraction towards the Bala Gopala. So she is feeling great intense pleasure and attraction towards her son. But on the other hand, she is getting complaints. So she takes her stick and starts running after Krishna. So again, in this beautiful Damodastikam praise, we see that he's running around. Mother Yashoda is chasing him with the stick. And then finally, you know, Mother Yashoda gets tired. And Krishna, you know, is not an ordinary just Bala Gopala. He's the Supreme Lord. So you can never catch him. He will outrun you by a long shot. So Mother Yashoda got a little tired, and he's just huffing and puffing, and then Krishna sees the mother. Oh, she's my mother. Why should I give her trouble? So Krishna says, okay, mother, you can catch me. So she gets hold of Krishna and says, now that I have caught you, I'll tie you to this grinding motor so you cannot go anywhere, and you'll be here right now, and I can see you with me, with my eyes, so you cannot be anywhere else. But of course, Krishna, by his transcendental potency, he can be here and there. Of course, Mother Yashoda doesn't know that. So Krishna is tied to the grinding motor. Now this grinding motor business is not that Mother Yashoda wanted to punish Krishna. But there is a very, very, very important job or service which Krishna has to render. So when Mother Yashoda ties Krishna to the grinding motor, of course we have all heard the past time that the rope is always 2 inches short. Every time she is tying a longer rope, even still shorter and shorter and shorter. And she's wondering, you know, every time bring a longer rope, why is this always short? But of course, you cannot tie Krishna with anything. So another aspect of this pastime we can learn is that Krishna can only be bound by love, not by material object, not by rope. So if you want to tie Krishna to your heart, then tie him with love. Anything else, you cannot capture. So, of course, Krishna is agreed to be tied to the grinding motor. Now, he has to deliver Nalakuvara and Manigriva, who are flaunting around, you know, in their drunken state and taking bath in the pond, stark naked, you know, and this is not the etiquette. Even today, if you go to India, you will see when people go and take a dip in the river or the holy kund, they have a gamsha. You know, and that decency is there. So, even Kali Yuga, there's decency. What to speak of other yugas? But Manigriva and Nalakuvara were flaunting everything because in their drunken state, they think, hey, we are the sons of Kuvera, the treasurer. He has unlimited money. We have everything. Let's enjoy. Nobody can do anything to us. So sometimes we also feel like that in this material world. If we are a children of some very prominent person, a politician or a police officer or a banker or someone, you know, who has everything, then you flaunt around thinking, hey, I got everything. So, of course, Manigriva and Nalakuvara are doing that, and they are flaunting their indecency. And Narada Muni came there and said, what are you doing this? So he cursed them to become the Ashoka trees in the courtyard of Nanda Maharaj. So for so many years and thousands of years, they are standing there as trees and tolerating the heat, the cold, the rain, even sometimes people chopping off the branches to make firewood for cooking, so many things. And the tree is just standing there. So what can I do? As the son of Kuvera, as Nalakuvara and Manigriva, we were enjoying, we had freedom. But now, due to the curse of Narada Muni, we are stuck in this body and we are restricted. But Krishna says, that's okay. Everybody in the material world, if you do something wrong, then you have to be punished for it. So, of course, Nalakuvara and Manigriva were punished as trees. But Krishna says that, I am not that cruel that your punishment will be eternal. So, Krishna saying, I will come and free you from that. So, when, of course, the grinding motor is tied in Krishna's belly, and Krishna is dragging that and goes through the trees, and by the force, the two trees are uprooted. And when they are uprooted, Manigriva and Nalakuvara are freed from the tree body and they go back to the spiritual world. So this is again another aspect. This is just not a pastime that Krishna came with his grinding mortar, went through the trees and pushed them aside, uprooted them, and then, hey presto, Manigriva and Nalakuvara have got their transcendental bodies and they've gone back to the spiritual world. No, it is for us to learn that if we follow the process of bhakti properly, then we will also be freed from our punishment. Taking birth in this material world is the greatest punishment one can get. Because we are under illusion, we think this is not a punishment. Let's enjoy. That's why you see the population in this world, almost 8 billion plus, they don't care for Krishna. They are enjoying. At least they're trying to enjoy. But for every enjoyment, there's equal and opposite reaction. So you enjoy for 10 minutes, then 10 minutes suffering is just waiting for you around the corner. However, which way it will come, when and how, that is by the Lord's discretion. But it will come. Nobody is barred from it. And as devotees, we forget this, and also we get into this materialistic enjoyment mentality, then Krishna says, my hands are tied. Law is law. So like, you know, even in a state, if there is a state laws, it is equally applicable to every citizen. Even the people who make the law, they are also bound by it. And if they break the law, what happens? They get also criminal punishment. Nobody is barred from it. I mean, just recently, just a couple of years back, we went through this phase of coronavirus, a pandemic, and the then Prime Minister, Boris Johnson, was saying, hey, I'm the Prime Minister. I can flaunt the law here and there. But for you, the citizens, no partying, no gathering, no family visits, you know, this, that, and other, so many restrictions. But he was thinking, I'm the Prime Minister. I'm the chosen one. But what happened? He was punished. Prime Minister, no Prime Minister. Law is applicable to all. So similar with Krishna, he said, I don't want to punish you. You're my devotee. But if you violate the principles of bhakti, then what can I say? So Krishna will punish you. And that's why we are getting punished in the material world, even as devotees. So we have to be very, very careful that we do not take it for granted. The Krishna's mercy which is upon us is for our benefit. So we should be very conscious, not just take it that, oh, festivities have come, now it is Kartik month, let's just enjoy the spirit of Kartik. And most people would go, if they are fortunate enough, they would go to India and spend 1 month of Kartik in Vrindavan and say, well, we'll go on parikrama, we'll do this, we'll do that. And when you go and do all these things in Vrindavan, but your consciousness is enjoying. Who is the enjoyer? Krishna is the enjoyer. And when Krishna enjoys, you automatically enjoy. But you become the enjoyer, then Krishna says, try. You'll never be successful enjoying. So this is the whole concept of meditation and worship of the Lord, of Lord Damodar, specifically this month, as Bala Gopala Rup, that we meditate on him and take relishing how Mother Yashoda is enjoying this beautiful pastime with the Lord. And similarly, we will also be so much enlivened by hearing these pastimes. But sometimes, because we haven't developed that transcendental taste for the holy name and the pastimes of the Lord, you hear the pastimes, I heard this so many times. The more you hear, it should become more relishing. But instead, well, our understanding is, oh, I've read it so many times. Krishna book I've read so many times. I don't need to do this. But someone who is a devotee of the Lord, who has developed taste for Krishna, he will read again and again and again and again and enjoy the same pastime more and more, because each time, that same pastime will bring different relish, different experience. But if you are on a mundane level, then you will just remain as the same. Say, oh, I've done it many times. Just like when you're chanting Hare Krishna. Oh, I've been chanting for the last 40 years. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare. But not develop taste for it. Because it's superficial. So this month of Kartik is there for remembering the beautiful pastimes of Mother Yashoda and Bala Gopala. The same time, these festivities come, it is to increase our enthusiasm to participate in different festivities and hear more about Krishna and worship Him. Just like, today is Deepavali, and we make special effort to decorate the altar and then make a special offering for the Lord and do so many extra things. Unfortunately, in this country, Monday is a working day. So most people have to go to work. Otherwise, as I said earlier on, you don't get paid for it. And you don't get paid for it, then you can't get your basic necessities, which you think that this is what is going to provide. But in some countries, they give holiday. Like in the Middle East, is Islamic country. Yesterday, someone sent me a message saying in the Emirates, 4 days of holidays is declared by the government. For what? For celebrating Deepavali. So Deepavali is not just one day. It's a four-day festival. It starts on Dwadasi. Then next day is what we call Dhanteras. Is the 13th day. But again, of course, we have a misconception. Dhanteras means we worship the Lord in his form of Lakshmi. You know, and do Lakshmi Puja. And then the next day after that is Kali Chaudas, the 14th day. It is the dark moon night. That's the day before Amavasya. What do? Do Kali worship. And then on Deepavali, we do Lakshmi Puja. But actually, 4 days of celebration is that it is building up to Deepavali. And what is Deepavali? Of course, for us as Vaishnavas, we have this beautiful transcendental pastime which took place. But it's not just for Deepavali day to remember this pastime of Mother Yashoda and Bala Gopala, you know, and tying him to the grinding water. It's for a whole month we are doing that. At the same time, Deepavali is the day when Lord Ramachandra is being waited for 14 years. So all the Ayodhya Vasis, when that fateful day, Kaikeyi asked Dasharatha Maharaj that my son Bharat should become the crown prince. So Dasharatha reluctantly said, okay, we'll make Bharat the crown prince. But Kaikeyi said, no, that is not enough. You have to banish Ram for 14 years from the kingdom. So Ram, of course, is a very obedient son. Say, Father, no problem. I'll go to the forest. So Ram went to the forest and Lakshman says, no, I cannot allow you to go alone. I have to be with you. So Lakshman went and then Sita, Ram is saying, what to do? So Ram is thinking, I promised Sita's father, Janak Maharaj, on that day when the Swayamvar took place, that I will take care of your daughter much better than you would take care of your daughter. So now Ram is thinking, if I am going to be in the forest, Sita is going to be alone here. So he took Sita Devi to Janakpur and told Janak Maharaj that please, for these 14 years I am going to be away, you kindly take care of your daughter. And Janak Maharaj was very happy to receive Sita back because he was missing her very much. But then Sita said, I am having none of this. I am now married to you. I am going to do my Patni Dharma. Follow in the footsteps of my husband. Of course, nowadays it's all topsy-turvy, not following that. But we'll not go into that. But we'll go into the Lord and his transcendental concert. So Sita accompanied him. And when they went to Chitrakoot. And they said, okay, we'll stay in the Chitrakoot, which is, you know, way away from Ayodhya. But it was, it was a forest, nice dwellings like mountains and everything, water flowing and everything is there. So they said, well, our necessities are there, and this forest is full of fruits and nuts and other eatables, so we won't be short of anything. The whole of Ayodhya went. Not there. Even Bharat, his brother, says, I will go and bring him back. So they all went, and Ram said, no. Promise is a promise, you must fulfill. So he told Bharat, you go back and take care of the kingdom. And he told the Ayodhya Vasis, you also go back. Because a kingdom without the citizens, what is this? Like suppose you have a nice, beautiful, big palace, but no residents in the palace. What is the value of the palace? The beauty of the palace is the residence of the palace. Otherwise, what we call in India, Bhut Bungalow. The resident of a ghost is very ghostly. You know, it may be very nice and very big, but nobody stays there. So the country, it is glorious because it has a wonderful king and wonderful citizens. That's what makes the country. But the whole country is barren. Nobody there. Then what is the value of the country? So Lord Ramachandra said, told his Ayodhyavasis, you go back. Reluctantly they all went back. And they said, if our Lord and Master, he is going to live in poverty and without the fineries of the princely luxuries, then we as residents of Ayodhya will also follow the same. So for 14 years, they neglected everything, their lives. They were just like living dead. No, they were living, but they were dead. They had no interest in anything. But as soon as the 14 years are finished, and this Deepavali day comes, their hearts started pumping. Their minds began thinking, Ram is coming. Let's clean up Ayodhya. So they cleaned up Ayodhya and decorated very nice with colorful rangolis and this and that, and lit everywhere lights. That is why the festival lights come. Of course, Kali Yuga, we put the electric lights, you know, not deepas, you know. Even the altar, you see, we have the Kali Yuga deepas, you know, not the real deepas. But anyway, I'm sure Krishna will kind of give some concession to us because there's fire hazards. But anyway, the Ayodhyavasis were not concerned with burning Ram Ayodhya. They lit the whole place up. Even yesterday, they were celebrating Deepavali. In Ayodhya, they had something like 200,000 deepas all around the river Sariu. It was an amazing sight. Now, I went to Ayodhya about 12, 13 years ago. It was derelict, nothing there. Only some bazaar people. And security was like, we are in a war zone. Every 15, 20 meters, guys with the AK-47, and you have to check you. You know, they frisk you. Have you brought anything? I said, you just frisked me there. 15 meters before. No. I'm going to check. You cannot bring anything. So we went through the whole maze of the security. And it's like almost like 1 kilometer going here, there, here. And I don't know how many checks they did to us. Finally, we went there and then we kept walking and then came out. And then they said, okay. I said, I came to see Ram Lala. We didn't see. He was right there in the tent, like 100 meters away, in a small tent. And we just went past. You know, I was thinking it will be a nice altar and, you know. We missed it. So I said, oh, okay, go back into queue and start it again. And this time we were conscious that where the tent is, we could see the Lord. And it was very, very, you know, heartbreaking to see this situation. Because, you know, the Lord is the most opulent. And as Prabhupada explains to us in our bhakti, we have to give the Lord the best, most opulent things which we have within our capacity. And here is Ram Lala. He is nothing. You know, just a little shack of a tent. But now you go there, it is amazing. So that is a true welcoming of Ram. Of course, this is all external. But for us, Deepavali is the same mood we should be, that we have missed Lord Ram. And today is the day he's coming back. And he brought life back to Ayodhya. And the next day, of course, Ayodhya is celebrating, you know, all celebrating with feast and sweets and everything. You know. And this is the mood of Deepavali. But of course, we don't have to wait 14 years for him. Ram is here every day. So for us, at night when we go to sleep, our 14 years trek begins. And the next morning when we wake up, the 14 years is condensed in that 8 to 10 hours sleep. And then again in the morning, Deepavali begins. And Ram is here. He's waiting here. You know, Lord Ram came here in 1980. And he's here since 1980. But how many days every morning we wake up saying, Deepavali, let's go. Lord Ram waiting for us. Sunday we'll go. Festival we will go. So then we are not developing that attachment for Lord Rama. So the whole idea of these festivities is to develop attachment for the Lord, that every moment which is spent without remembering the Lord is like a million years. And who would be in great joy that you have to wait a million years before you see the Lord again? No, you don't want to wait that long. So every moment we get opportunity, we come and see the Lord. And if you're not in the place where you can see the Lord with your eyes, you can see the Lord by hearing Him, by chanting. And the chanting is so beautiful, as Prabhupada says, that Lord has manifested in His holy name. Kali Kale Nam Rupa Krishna Avatar, that He has come in His holy name. And therefore that holy name, you can carry with you everywhere you go. And as I said earlier on, tongue is there, ears are there, all you have to do is use it. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare. And just use these facilities which are given to us by the grace of the Lord and take advantage of that. But we don't want to use the tongue for chanting the holy name. We use our tongue for everything but chanting. Even like, you know, the guests who come to the temple for festivity times, they're here with great eagerness to come and see the Lord, but they don't chant. You see, when you're doing the aarti, the person who's singing the aarti and leading the kirtan, they're chanting joyously, devotees accompanying the kirtan, and others is... Lord is in front of them. Chant the holy names. Use your tongue for chanting. Then of course we have to coax them. Okay, everybody, hands up. Okay, raise up. Okay, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna. Then they start chanting. After that, then the devotees also sometimes, you know, like, their eyes are looking at the Lord, the mind is somewhere else, millions of miles away. Focus. Then you'll develop love for Krishna. You'll develop attachment for Krishna. And when you develop attachment for Krishna, then your life is fulfilled. You don't want anything. Because one who has Krishna has everything. And one who doesn't have Krishna, he has everything but then he has nothing. You know. Because Krishna is everything. So we have to develop this mood of connecting with Krishna. Not wait for the different festivities. At least for devotees, every day is a festival. In one time, Prabhupada also said, I can give you a festival every day. But unfortunately, we can't handle a festival every day. We have Janmashtami once a year, 1 month of preparation. And after Janmashtami day comes and goes, I need a break, I need to go on a holiday. Can't handle one Janmashtami. And of course, in this country we have the winter month for Deepavali, so it's not that big of a festival. It used to be before, I remember. But now it's kind of condensed. You know. But okay, Krishna said, I don't care. You do a big festival, you do a small festival. For me, I have millions and trillions of devotees all over the universe celebrating my festivities. I'm not dependent on your festivities. So whatever we do, it is for our benefit. The more we do for Krishna, it is for our benefit. It's not for Krishna's benefit. So we should really enthusiastically take up this mission and this service which is given to us. Because every day, as I said, we chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Engage me, engage me, engage me. And then Krishna says, hey, I'm going to engage you. Oh, no. It's too much engagement. You are asking for engagement, I'm giving engagement, and it's too much engagement. So Krishna says, make your mind up. What do you want? I don't have time to waste with you guys. But I'm here for you. Anytime, any moment you want me, I'm there. But if you're not going to be focused, then Krishna says, I'll go somewhere else. So anyway, these festivities are not meant for just one day festivity. Or festival times, you know, look at the calendar and say, okay, this is this festival coming up. Let's try and prepare something for this festival and do a festival thing. You know, no. Every day is a festival. Every day, every moment we are alive, you are breathing, is for remembering Krishna. Focus on that, and your life will become perfect. So it's 9 o'clock. I'll stop here. Anybody has any comments, any questions, or share some of your views on the festivities? Feel free. Okay. No questions. Yes. No comments. Yes, Mataji.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, Dandavat Pranam. I just heard one of the pastimes of Lord Ram, where he goes to Mother Kekai, and he says that Mother, I would like something from you. It's just a pastime I heard, and Mother Kekai asks, "Yes, what would you like?" And Lord Ram said, "I want to go to the forest to perform my pastimes." And she looked and she said, Lord Ram said, "But there will be two things happen to you. One, you will be defamed. And next one is that nobody will name their daughter after you." She said, she agreed that, okay. She knew that Lord Ram is Supreme Godhead, she agreed. She said, "What will I will get in return?" And then Lord Ram says that, like, one is you will get defamed, and other one is no one will name their daughter after your name. And Mother Kekai, she agreed. She said, "Okay, that's fine." Lord Ram's Kekai asked that, "What will I get in return?" She said, "That I want a son like you to be born from me." And Lord Ram says that "I already given this womb to somebody else. I will born in from Devaki's womb, but I will play in. But you will play as the mother. You show that to me." So that's the pastime I would like to share. Then Kekai came as a Mother Yashoda, and obviously Krishna come. Lord Ram came as a Krishna in his next birth, and he went to Gokul, and Kekai in Kekai's lap, Krishna played the pastimes. That's I would like to share. I don't know how much.
Yeah, I mean there are pastimes this, but you see, I would take it with a pinch of salt. Because unless and until it is there in the scriptures, you know, bona fide scriptures presented, then we should take it with a pinch of salt. It sounds nice.
Yes, it's such a beautiful pastime.
If it's not the bona fide pastime of the Lord, then we are speculating.
That's
so,
right.
So, I mean, I've not heard this pastime myself personally. Not that I can say I have read all the scriptures, but the ones I have read, I have not come across them. And in Prabhupada's transcendental lectures, when he's talking about, especially, you know, he speaks a lot about Lord Ram, you know, and the festivals are there. So, that is not mentioned like that. So, I would be very careful. That we don't, I mean, the pastime sounds nice, it's wonderful, but at the same time, we have to be careful that we don't get into the speculative pastimes and then speculate about these things. Because there is so much in the Bhagavatam for us to remember Krishna that we don't need to go outside of that. Because Prabhupada said very clearly that these things are given to us. So, I mean, I'm not saying that these are wrong, because there may be some obscure pastimes which we have not heard. But there may be some authentic bona fide source in the scriptures. That is why we have to follow sadhus, means previous acharyas, guru, the present guru who is following in the line, and the scriptures, shastra. And if they are all in line, then we say, okay, this is bona fide. Otherwise, you may be meditating something which is not bona fide. You know, it sounds nice, but it may not be good. So I would be, you know, personally, I would you know, it's nice to hear all these different pastimes. But also to know the source of it, that it is bona fide source. Because Prabhupada was very much emphasizing that everything we do must be bona fide and authenticated so that we don't speculate about the Lord. Of course, Lord cannot be limited to anything. He can come in any form, any way, any He likes. That is His sweet free will. So we have to be very careful that we don't absorb in this kind of pastimes if they are not authenticated. That is my only concern. Otherwise, Lord's pastimes are unlimited. We don't even know all the pastimes. There are billions and billions of pastimes. And we cannot claim that we know everything. But at least we should be considerate that whatever His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada has given us, that is sufficient for us to absorb. And if we can absorb in what Prabhupada has given, that is a lifetime's work. You will need probably many, many lifetimes to get to know everything. So in this, at least this lifetime, we should be focused in Srila Prabhupada's teachings, what Prabhupada has presented, and that is complete for us. Okay, thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Jai Sri Ramachandra Bhagwan ki jai. Diwali Utsav ki jai. Nitai Gaur Premanande. Hari 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 Bol.